Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Guys, welcome. This is the third Solid Man competency that we're going to be talking about today. So let's dive right in. So the third Solid Man competency being the thing to get good at. If you remember, the first one was checking in. Second one is questioning the narrative or the story that's being told or has been told to you your whole life. The third one is called ownership. A lot of you may have already read Jocko Willink's book, Extreme Ownership. And this kind of, that book really does speak into this whole thing of just taking ownership. His example is extreme ownership, and that's what a leader needs to do. And so really, that's a big part of what we're talking about today. So ownership, the first part of it, the words that really come to mind, there's four words for me: responsible, creator, agency, and accountability. And those are really big words with ownership. So the idea of responsible is I am responsible. This is mine. The idea of creator, I'm creating what I can. This is mine to make. And it's a different posture than the victim. The victim has no ownership. The victim blames everything, pretty much everything, on something or someone else. Someone else is thwarting me. Someone else is to blame. And so it's the victim actually never has any kind of power. The victim sits in a position, a posture of why me? Why is this happening to me? It's not a place of power at all. The victim is always being done to rather than doing life. And so if you're going to have power in your life, you cannot be a victim. The victim is really the opposite of a man who has ownership. And so that's a really, really powerful part of this whole thing. Agency is another category. I don't know this word as much as I should, because it is a really significant word. If you guys want to learn more about agency, I got a guy I'm familiar with. Don't know him really well, but I've talked to him a couple times. Noah Revoy, R-E-V-O-Y. He's got an online presence. If you were to look at him on Twitter, not sure what else. I think he does have a podcast. We'll have to listen to that and see if it works. But Noah is definitely a guy that really upholds the patriarchy, which I do as well. I think the men being strong is a really powerful thing. That's why we're talking about this, men being responsible, creator, and having agency. And so if you want to learn more about that word and how that really works under this category, go ahead and look at some of Noah's stuff. He'll be able to help you out with that. Like I said, I need to study it a little bit more because I know it's part of ownership. And so the whole thing of being a responsible, a creator, having agency, responsibility, it's the opposite of a victim, where I am, like I said, doing life rather than life doing me. The victim feels oppressed and all this stuff. And so if you ever feel like that, or actually I kind of think the posture of a procrastinator is also a victim. So that's one to really, really check yourself with. So the creator has agency. It can create something and knows that he can create change. And at the end of this, we'll talk about change. It's a really big deal, being able to change. And the main sentence I want you to hear, and I'll read it twice here: responsibility is the avenue toward power, confidence, and strength. I'll say it again. Responsibility, and that would be ownership as well, is the avenue toward power, confidence, and strength. I'm not blaming anything else. It's nobody else's fault. This is on me. I'm taking responsibility for my life. I'm taking responsibility for the things that are happening around me, and I am moving forward. This is the position of power. If I'm not responsible, then I don't have power. And so a really big part of this, a lot of guys find that this is really unfair. How dare you? That this happens. One of the things is about responsibility, like the old joke, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody is there to hear it, is the man still at fault? And that's kind of a bad dad joke, but the thing is, it's kind of how it is. The answer is yes, he's still at fault. It's still his responsibility. So how is it the man is always blamed? Why is it? And what I want to tell you is, yeah, it seems really unfair, but it's totally fine. I will take that any day because I am now the one that is responsible. Therefore, I have the one to create power. I have the one to be able to create change. I can make a difference with whatever's going on. I'll take that any day. I'll take the blame and fault because that's where I'm going to find power. It feels unfair. That's all right. It's not a problem. So that's kind of introducing the whole idea of ownership and responsibility. The second big category with ownership is taking ownership of wrongs or mistakes. So own your mistakes, and you got to be able to notice, see, and acknowledge your behaviors and words. And this is positive and negative. If you say things that are really bad, if you have really poor behaviors, own it and see it and notice it, because that's how you can create change. This really takes a lot of self-examination. Go ahead and see it. Notice your behaviors, good and bad. Kind of see how am I doing? What did I do? Or you know that there's something you don't like to do. Like, let's say you're trying not to cuss as much, or you're really tired of how you explode and call your wife names or something like that. Notice it. Fix it. It's yours. It's your responsibility. And so accountability is really what we want, because accountability is the thing that's going to create trust in those people around you. If you are not accountable, no one can trust you because they don't know if you're actually going to be able to make changes, or you're actually going to say, I was wrong. I was wrong is the most important thing to say in a relationship. We've all been with people who have a really hard time saying I was wrong. I'm old. I remember Happy Days, the Fonz. There's that one episode where he could not say I was wrong, even though it was absolutely obvious. He would just be like, I was, he couldn't say it. He couldn't be accountable. And so it's really important in your life, when you make a mistake, to say I was wrong. Don't say I was wrong if you didn't make a mistake or it's really not on you. You don't have to own it, but be able to say it when you do make a mistake. That is accountability. Self-accountability is really important. If someone else holds you accountable, it's really important to come clean and say, you're right, I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong, or I made a mistake. And then do everything you can to begin to change that behavior. I'll be doing a talk on amends soon. And so look for that in the podcast recordings, and you'll be able to see that soon. And that really outlines how to really go about the whole process of amends, being able to say I was wrong, and making reconciliation in a relationship, because that's what I was wrong actually does. It reconciles relationships like nothing else. The three most powerful words in a relationship is not I love you, it's I was wrong. Trust me on that. It's powerful. It's important. And lead the way. Teach your kids how to do this. Teach your wife how to do this. Make it happen. And then the whole thing of don't be a sorry man. We've talked about that again. I'm sure I'll have, I do have one blog post on that, but I'll get the talk on that as well so you guys can hear that. But don't be the sorry man is a really important thing. Don't say I'm sorry. Don't just watch yourself when you're always saying it. Really catch yourself and switch that to I was wrong when you actually make a mistake. And if you don't make a mistake, just say pardon me or apologies or, you know, whatever. Just kind of don't own it. Just say, okay. Now, here's a really important part of this. If you remember, one of the big parts in the, you'll find this in the material. I think I'm quoting John Bradshaw from his Healing the Shame That Binds You book. He says, a mistake is about my behavior. It's I made a mistake. That's guilt. Guilt is I made a mistake. And shame is I am a mistake. It's about my identity. It's about who I am. And if you're still in this place where when you make a mistake, you feel like you are a mistake, that's going to be really difficult to separate yourself from blame and fault. And that's usually why if we can't escape feeling that horrible thing of blame and fault, usually it's because I still have that level of shame within me that I haven't really dealt with. So if you still have that, take care of that and start really thinking through that. And we can talk more about that if you want. Just ask a question and we'll go with that. So, and then the one lesson about shame and secrets, read that and you'll find a little bit more tools on how to really deal with your shame. But that's really important. And so, because you cannot own your wrongs or your mistakes if you still are in that blame or fault-finding mode. And so it's really important to get rid of shame, get to a place where you don't feel blame, you don't feel fault, you don't get all defensive. If you get defensive all the time, or if you are very judgmental, those are big clues and indicators that you're actually not able to own your mistakes, or it's a pretty significant thing. So with that, with the ownership of wrong, saying I was wrong, noticing, self-examination, just really reassess yourself. What could I have done differently? How can I change? Really important. The next category is the whole idea of control or influence. You know, if you've talked to me at all, influence is what we want to go after. Control is not what we want. Being able to influence, because the truth is you can only control a very, very few things. You can only control yourself, your moods, your own emotional process, and what you do with your mood, with your moods and your energy and your decisions. You can control you, and you can control just a little bit of your environment. You can create a really safe environment for your kids, for your family, for your wife. You can create a very kind environment where it's peaceful. You can make an environment very chaotic if you want, or where people are scared of you. That's probably not good, but you have control over your environment. Hopefully one of these days it's going to be one of those things where, you know, when you walk into a room and people notice there's a man that's confident, and as you walk in the room, the environment changes. And it's not really that you're controlling the environment, you're influencing the environment with your presence. That's a really, really powerful thing. So influence is having a direct effect on things and people around you. And it's really important that knowing that you have an effect or influence on things, but not control, that really makes all this stuff very, very real. It makes it to where everything we're talking about with the solid man, it just makes it very real that your presence in the world, your presence in your own life, really has influence on people around you. And so that's why it's really important to be able to understand how you have influence. You own this thing. You're making a difference. You're here. You are present. And so it's really important, especially as a boss, as a dad, as a husband, that we're out here for empowerment, to empower people to do the work. And as a leader, you're going to be able to teach them and guide them into doing the work that you would as a leader, as a man who knows what he wants. That's actually the next thing as well. But empowerment is really huge. We've all worked with bosses that are micromanagers, and they're just little control freaks, little Nazis, little Napoleons, whatever you want to call them. They have to control everybody. It's a horrible work environment, horrible way to manage, and it's not empowering at all. And so what you want to be able to do is take the power you have, take the strength you have, take the ownership and responsibility you have, and allow that to influence other people, to set them free to be the best version of themselves, set them free to be able to innovate, set them free to be themselves. That really kind of is a big deal with your kids, for sure. The next category is leadership. And so the whole thing of leading, this is a really, really puzzling thing. It was really puzzling at the time when I first started this whole counseling gig and when I was just getting my license. The whole idea of leading your own life or being in your own life. And so many guys are like I'm not leading my own life. I'm not directing my own life. I'm not in control of my own life. I don't own my own life. Well, guess what? This is your life. You are at the center of your life, so why wouldn't you be the one to take the ownership of your life? Who else is going to run your life? Who else is going to lead it? But that's what we do, is we defer to our wife's moods or to the expectation of others, and we let everybody else tell us what to do. But no, take ownership, take responsibility, lead your own life, and guess what? Your own life is your life, so why wouldn't you lead it? It's made for you to lead, not anybody else. Some of us actually are guided by God and the Holy Spirit, and that's all cool. But still, I really believe that God has trusted us to be able to, he's like, Ken, I trust in your heart. I think you're a good man. I believe in you. Go, do. And I'm pretty sure that he believes that when I follow my own heart and I go forward, that he trusts me that I'm going to do some great things. And that gives me permission to be able to lead my own life. Of course, listening to his guidance and his values, that's great. I'm choosing that as well. So lead your own life. Another category in the leading is we lead from our wants. What do I want? What do I want to happen? Where do I want this to go? Another question that really befuddled me at the beginning actually is my story. I remember before I got into this, I went through a really horrible experience of losing a job, being laid off. It was wretched. It was not a good thing. And I had lunch with a good friend, John, after that. And he took me out to lunch, and we were talking about where I was going to go from here. And he asked me the question, Ken, what do you want? And I didn't have an answer. This was about 2007. And so this kind of shows you where I am on my journey. At that point, I was so externally referenced still that I didn't have a clue about what I wanted and where I wanted to go. And that's been a really powerful part of my journey, is taking ownership, being able to move forward, doing what I want. And that's where I'm doing now. So that's like 13, 14 years ago. Actually, 14 years ago, this is 2021, and it was Valentine's Day Massacre is what my friend Rich and I called it, and Travis. We all got laid off on the same day in 2007. And so, that's almost 13 years ago, 14 years ago now, or gosh, I'm bad at math. Anyway, just the long, that kind of shows you how long I've been on this. So, but I'm so happy that I'm where I'm at now. It's so good to be able to lead your own life, guys. The other part of this is you always have a choice. Now remember, this is the opposite of being a victim. The victim thinks they never have a choice. But since I'm not a victim, I always have a choice, which is really fascinating to me. If you've read Viktor Frankl and his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he really speaks about the worst, some of the worst places that anybody could ever be in the Jewish Holocaust. And yet some people still made sure they chose their attitude. They chose how they wanted to think about life. They chose whether they were going to allow their soul to succumb under the pressure of their captors. And they chose not to. Brilliant. Just an amazing story. And they didn't take a victim posture, which that's insane to me. But it's such a good example for us to be able to think you always have a choice. You don't have to be a victim. You have a choice. And so this is your life. Owning it is like owning it and making your life become what you want. And then when you're starting to build your life and moving forward with purpose and meaning, then start to invite other people along. It's such a great thing. So then finally, the last category here is about growth and change. And growth is just, man, this is a big deal. So take ownership for the changes that you want. You're the one that can make changes. And being able to get in and just say, I'm going to change. And this is a really important category, is first order change and second order change. First order change is just changing your behavior. It's changing what I do. So in Alcoholics Anonymous, they call that white knuckling. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. Or not going to look at porn. Not going to look at porn. But they say the way that our brains work is we don't hear the I'm not going to. They don't hear the negative. They just hear the positive. Which in both those sentences, it would say drink, or look at porn. It's really weird how our brains work. But it's kind of like if you think about it, that's what you're going to hit. kind of the baseball pitcher type of thing. If you're looking at the backstop, you're not going to hit the catcher's glove. And so the thing about it is that's first order change, is just changing my behavior, and it doesn't really work. It works for a short period of time, but not for long. Real change is second order change, where I change my beliefs, I change my identity, I change my narrative, I believe a different story. That's why it's so important to question the narrative about who you are and all that. And those deep changes is actually what really changes for good, for sustainability. And so take ownership for the changes that you want and intentionally move where you want to go and make your vision happen. Have a vision for your life. Do the internal changes. Make it happen. And really just see life as growth. You know, I don't know where it is. I should find where this quote is, but it's pretty much they say when you stop growing, you die. And so you might literally die, but you might continue to be alive physically, but your soul dies. If you stop growing, something in you dies. And that's a really important thing to think about. So the quote from the Shawshank Redemption that kind of fits here is, get busy living or get busy dying. Just do what needs to be done to make the changes that you need to do to grow in the direction that you need to go. You know it. You know what needs to change. Make it happen. The other category that's really important in growth is that relationships are the greatest context for growth. Your relationship with your wife, with your girlfriend, with your family of origin, with your friends, our relationship with the world, our relationship with God, our relationships everywhere with our kids, whatever it is, every single relationship is a challenge to grow. And if we were just a hermit out there doing the Ted Kaczynski thing in his cabin out in the wilderness, and just being the hermit, we'd never be challenged to have to grow. I could just be stuck in my ways, do whatever I want, and I would never be challenged to become a greater, more powerful, more healthy human being. And relationships are the proven grounds to get us to move where we need to go. Pretty powerful thing. So own your weaknesses and grow. So this whole, what we're talking about, it's all about taking responsibility, ownership, the third solid man competency, ownership, responsibility, being a creator, agency, having accountability, and influencing those around me and making change. It's a really, really significant thing. So guys, if you can start paying attention to this and changing and being accountable and taking ownership, it's going to go really, really good places. So like the word competency says, get good at this, master it, and you're going to do great. So, as always, guys, stay solid, my friends.